Well, a police officer pulled over a man in the big city because, believe it or not, he had a sheep in the front seat of his car with him. And the police officer told the man, "You can't have this sheep in the front seat of your car. I want you to take it immediately to the zoo." And so the fellow said, "Yes, officer, I'll do that." Well, the very next week, the officer again saw the same man driving the same sheep in the front seat of his car, but this time, both the driver and the sheep are wearing sunglasses. So the police officer said, he pulled him over and said, "I told you, I wanted you to take the sheep to the zoo." And the driver says, "Yes, I did. And we had such a great time last week that this week I'm taking him to the beach." Well, all the readings today are about the Good Shepherd. We are God's flock. We are God's sheep. Take a look at that second reading today. Our first Pope, St. Peter, wrote, "Even though we had gone astray like sheep, but now we have returned to the Shepherd, the guardian of our souls." What a beautiful image we think about today of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. In fact, today is called Good Shepherd Sunday. The fourth Sunday of Easter is always readings about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And we are God's flock. In fact, in the first reading today, again, we have St. Peter, the first Pope, is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he gives such a powerful sermon as the first shepherd of God's flock, the first Pope, that 3,000 people are converted. They all repent of their sins and they all want to get baptized. And that very day, 3,000 were added to the church. In sales, we call that a good first day, right? Imagine the church went from 12 to 3,000 almost overnight. Pentecost. And then today's gospel, of course, Jesus talks about he is the good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice and follow him. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He calls each one of us by name. He knows us individually and personally by name. He even lays down his life for each one of us. He shed his blood. Imagine a shepherd dying for his sheep. Well, something even greater than that happened. The good shepherd, Jesus, died for us. He shed his blood for each one of us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And then we come to the responsorial psalm. It's my favorite psalm. It's probably your favorite psalm as well. Psalm 23. We just heard it beautifully sung a few moments ago. When we think of this psalm, it is such a great psalm. Out of all the 150 psalms that David wrote, I think it is his most beautiful. It is so filled with trust in the Lord, with great confidence, with faith. It's the most comforting of all the Psalms, especially if you've lost a loved one, a family member or a friend. This is often used during funeral services. And we think about this today. Psalm 23, if you have your missalette handy, take a look at it, because I'd like to just walk you through this Psalm. In fact, a few times I've read the book that was written back in the 1980s called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, written by a Christian pastor from Africa who spent his whole life raising sheep. And he gives tremendous insights into what King David was talking about. Remember, King David was a shepherd most of his life before chosen to be anointed and to be king. And we can get great insights into this. See, David was a shepherd, so he knows what it's like to try to tend the sheep. But now he's writing from the perspective of a sheep and says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So God himself is our shepherd. God knows each one of us by name. We listen to his voice and we follow him. And then it says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd," David says, "there is nothing I shall want. I'll be lacking in nothing. The Lord will provide everything I need, anything spiritual, emotional, material, whatever we need, the Lord will provide, because we shall not want." We have complete trust in divine providence, that God is in charge of our life. He knows each one of us by name. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. We shall not want. That's so comforting. That's so encouraging to know that. That in verdant pastures, he gives me repose. So he allows us to lie down in the green pastures. See, a good shepherd will search out the finest pasture for his sheep. He won't let them just eat in the rocky ground where there is very little nutrition. He'll lead us to repose in verdant pastures. And besides restful waters, he leads us to refresh our soul. So God will refresh our soul. When we go on a day of recollection or go on retreat, he refreshes our soul. He leads us besides restful waters. To me, this reminds me of baptism. See, this is how our soul is renewed, how our soul is cleansed from sin in baptism. When we're baptized, original sin is washed away. For a child, for an adult, all sins are washed away. That's how our soul is restored and given God's grace, is through the waters of baptism. So whenever I hear this verse of besides restful waters he leads me, I think about our baptism. Every one of us, I'm sure, has been baptized where the Lord has refreshed our soul and washed away our sins. And then King David goes on to say that he guides me in right paths. The sheep need a shepherd. They have to follow the shepherd along the right path. And if they stray, the shepherd brings them back. And to me, this reminds me of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation. When we go astray in sin, how do we get back? Through confession. So don't stay away from the sacrament of confession. Even if it's been 5, 10, 20, or 50 years, come back to confession. Get back on the right path, the path towards heaven, the path towards eternal life of being with Almighty God. So this good shepherd in confession guides us along right paths for his name's sake. Even though we walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. And at one time or another during our life, we will walk through the dark valley. You might be experiencing that now with the loss of a loved one, a family member, a friend, whether it be a parent, a spouse, a child, a loved one, or relative. When you walk through the dark valley, the psalmist says, have no fear, because the good shepherd is at our side. So God is always there with us, guiding us, walking with us, at our side, with two things, with his rod and his staff. The rod and the staff. Each of these were very valuable to the shepherd. The rod would be able to be used to drive away the wolves and the fierce animals that would try to destroy the flock, to destroy the sheep. It could be used as a form of a javelin as well. The staff with the hooked end will be used to pull out the young sheep from the muck or the mire or the mud if it fell into the stream. The shepherd would use his staff to pull out the sheep, the lamb, and bring it back to its mother. The shepherd had to be careful not to touch the sheep, because then the mother might reject it if it smelled of man rather than of sheep. So he would use the staff to not contaminate the sheep so that the mother would not reject its baby lamb. And so the staff was used for a number of things. It was used to gather in the lost sheep to bring them back. So the shepherd has a rod and a staff. And so the Lord has this as well. And because of that, it says it gives us courage. It gives us courage against any fears or worries that we have. And then King David goes on to say, you spread a table before me. This reminds me of the Eucharist. Because again, notice how these sacraments seem to be implicit within Psalm 23. You have the restful waters of baptism. You have coming back to God along the right path through confession. And now, our Good Shepherd spreads a table before us, and we call this the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist is called the Lord's Supper, the Lamb's Supper. Yes, it is the holy sacrifice. It's also a sacred banquet that the Lord feeds us with his greatest gift, himself in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So he spreads a table before us with the Holy Eucharist, even in the sight of our foes, in the sight of our enemies. And you know, Christianity has many enemies today. There are many foes and many enemies of the church. Your family has enemies. There are those who are trying to destroy the family or to destroy marriages or to corrupt your children. There are many wolves in our society that are out there. And how do we remain close to God? Is by coming to Mass, receiving the Eucharist, being nourished at the table of the Lord, and being strengthened as Christians with the bread of life, with the food for the journey that help us to fight against the enemies of the church and Christianity, to remain faithful to God, even though we have many enemies in secular society with the hedonism and immorality. How do we stay close to God? Is by coming to Mass, receiving the Eucharist, and staying close to the Lord. He then says, "You anoint my head with oil." And this again reminds us of sacraments. In fact, there are three sacraments in which our head is anointed. Every one of you has been anointed with the holy oil. When you were baptized, the priest or deacon anointed you with chrism on the crown of your head. You were anointed with oil at your baptism. And then those of you who were confirmed when you were 13, the bishop anointed you again on your head with the holy oil of chrism and said, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then the last rites. When you pass from this life into eternity, you want to receive the anointing, the last rites, where again, your head is anointed with oil and our cup overflows with God's graces and blessings in our life. So I think this verse reminds me of baptism, confirmation, and the anointing of the sick. And lastly, King David says, "Only goodness and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come." The translation is also, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the house of the Lord on earth is the church. And so we pray that we'll always be devout members of the church and always dwell in the house of the Lord from our baptism, all through the sacraments of matrimony or religious life, and then ultimately through the last sacraments of the last rites, and then enter into the true house of the Lord, which is heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Heaven has been called God's house. In my Father's house, Jesus says, there are many dwelling places. And that's what we look forward to one day, is being with the Lord forever, the beatific vision, seeing God face to face. So I encourage you, on a regular basis, read Psalm 23. Whenever you're fearful, whenever you're going through difficult times with the loss of a loved one, when you feel that you're walking through the valley of darkness, remember that the Good Shepherd is at your side with his rod and his staff to give us courage. Remember the sacraments of baptism, the Eucharist, confession, confirmation, anointing, that these strengthen us on our journey to one day be in the house of the Lord for years to come, forever. I remember seeing a bumper sticker once that said, "If you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Instead, talk to the shepherd."